Jason Rosillo reporting live for AmericaJR.com at the Royal Park Hotel in Rochester for a special meeting of the Detroit Economic Club. Let's listen in as Sarah Bush Chairman John W. Snow talks about the acquisition of 80% of Chrysler.
I'm delighted to be back here in a new capacity with Cerberus, as Keith said, with another homecoming to celebrate. And that's the homecoming, obviously, of Chrysler. It's great to see Chrysler return to its roots. It's great to see Chrysler return to American ownership. And as Keith said in his comments, now the hard work begins of really making a success of it. And the question on your mind is, can they make a success of it? What can private equity, what can private investment bring to this great company that is facing difficulties? What can it bring to alter the future, to improve the prospects, to return it to sustainable profitability? That's, if I'm guessing right, that's the question on all of your minds. What will be different because there's a Cerberus in the picture, because there's private equity in the picture? Well, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, actually, when Chrysler was facing difficulties, the end of the 70s, and a famous figure was leading the company, a storied figure was leading the company, Chrysler turned to the United States government for assistance. Today, Chrysler is facing a new set of problems. And it's turned to private equity. That's a big change in 30 years. It's a milestone for private equity. The private equity is now in a position to play this role of helping to restore one of the lustrous names of American economic history. And it's a milestone for Chrysler, for Chrysler as well. I want you to know we're committed to Chrysler. We're committed to making this an enormous success. And you're asking yourself, what is this mysterious thing called private equity? How does it work? Who is it? Well, basically, private equity is pretty straightforward. Private equity is the investment that companies like Cerberus manage that comes from pension plans, university endowments, from state government employee retirement plans. That's the basic source of the money that firms like Cerberus manage. Now, who are those people behind those pension plans? They're people like my mother, who was an Ohio teacher in Toledo. And I remember she never made more than about $9,200 in a single year, and she retired on about $7,500 in 1967. And she struggled with that. And I was not then in a position to be of much, a lot of help. And I think of my mother sometimes now, and the benefits which private equity would have for her. Because many, many teachers' plans are invested in private equity and getting much higher returns, and therefore having much, much richer and better better retirements. So I was pleased to get into the private equity business, having watched it fairly closely at Treasury, and coming to the view that private equity has become a powerful and important force in the U.S. economy and in the global economy at large for sustaining competitiveness of underperforming businesses. Really what a firm like Cerberus does is invest in good companies which for one reason or another have fallen out of favor. It may be they're sort of an orphan of a bigger company where the core business gets all the attention and that business doesn't get the attention it needs to succeed. We all know cases of that. It may be, as in the case of Chrysler, a well-conceived merger that didn't produce all the synergies and benefits that were planned. I was pleased to be part of that press conference and ceremony in Stuttgart with somebody you all know well, Dr. Z, Dieter Zetsche, who told me of his four very happy years here deep in Detroit. Years that gave him a great sense of this community, and years that also gave him a great sense of Chrysler. And this was a difficult decision for him. But what he said at the press conference was that Daimler Chrysler was looking for a home for Chrysler that was good for Daimler, that was good for Chrysler, and that was good for Chrysler's employees. And Cerberus provided that good new home. Now, why will we be a good new home? Well, one reason is public markets today often demand short-term results from companies that are antithetical and harmful to those companies' long-term interests. You all know of instances of that. The management team has a well-conceived plan. It takes effect 3-4 years from now. Turning around businesses is hard work. Implementing well-thought-out plans is hard work. It takes time. There aren't instant solutions to complex business problems. You need patient capital, and you need a long-term view. Often the public markets aren't patient and don't take a long-term view. In those cases, the economy suffers unless that company is allowed to pursue those long-term views, because good ideas aren't implemented, and good products aren't produced, and jobs that otherwise would be produced don't get produced. That's the essential role for private equity. A firm like Cerberus buys a company, fixes a company, and holds a company. We never buy a company with an exit strategy. People say, how can you do it? How can you fix companies? Well, the answer is that's what we do. You know, as I said to somebody recently, you know, in response to that question, carpenters take old buildings and renew them and build them. We take companies and rebuild them. That's what we do. That's our expertise. That's the special expertise that companies like Cerberus, private equity companies, bring. And our great advantage, and the great advantage we therefore convey to the companies that become part of Cerberus, is freedom. Is freedom. Let me explain. It's freedom for management to pursue their long-term plans outside the glare of public markets, outside of the requirements for quarterly earnings, outside of the glare of the analyst reports, where if you miss the analyst estimates by a penny, your stock can tank, right? Many of you in business are shaking your heads yes, because you've been there, you know that. In those cases, and this isn't, I'm not saying private equity is a panacea, I'm not saying it's the magic elixir that solves all problems, but I'm saying in some cases it works, and we have a track record that demonstrates that it works. We've taken any number of companies, and time doesn't permit now, but any number of companies that were underperforming, and given them a good home, a supportive home. And we support the management teams of the companies we acquire. We admire Tom Lasorda and his management team. We like the plan they put in place. We like the products they're developing. We're impressed by the dealer network and the suppliers and the dedication of the Chrysler employees. The Chrysler employees like making good cars. When you're with them, you know that. And we're really appreciative of the support from Ron Gettelfinger and the UAW. People were surprised by that. They wondered, how could that happen? Well, if you know Cerberus, you realize that many, many, many of the companies that are in the Cerberus family of companies are organized. We've established good relations with organized labor in those companies. And the only way a company can really work well is, and be successful is with good relations between labor and management. You've never seen a highly successful company with acrimonious labor-management relations. You've got to find a way to work together and understand each other and move forward to get the enterprise running well. So what do we bring? Patience, long-term view, the ability to let management implement their plans, the ability to put capital into the business, and we're putting a lot of capital into Chrysler. Often public markets don't like capital going into the business. You know what they want you to do? Buy back shares, right? You get applauded for buying back the shares of the enterprise, but not for investing in the business, because investing in the business means the return is postponed. You might get a return out there in the future, but if you buy the shares back, you get the return today, so the public markets are applauding share buybacks. The other thing we do at Cerberus, and it's really central to how we operate, it's a hallmark of Cerberus, is we respect operations. We believe in good management. We believe in operating expertise, and we have assembled a group of 150 or so of world-class managers, some of those names you know, who've run large companies. Some associated with Chrysler in the past, some associated with other household names, who had years and years of experience on production floors, on assembly lines, in marketing, in HR, in information technology. And that that pool of resources, management resources, is made available to the managements of the companies we acquire. And it's a good formula. They aren't there to run the business. They're there to support the managements that do run the business. And I think we pat ourselves on the back and say we're a pretty good parent. We bring fresh eyes to old problems. Sometimes companies are so close to the problems they're suffering from, the problems that are afflicting them, that they don't really see the forest for the trees. You get caught up in the trees and don't see the forest. A fresh set of eyes, and that's what these 150 senior executives bring, can be helpful. We never buy a company, for the financial engineering opportunities it provides. That is, levering it up and making it more valuable because of some levers. We really don't believe in that. We think the way you make a company more valuable is by improving its basic operations, by raising its productivity, by improving its products, and by raising its long-term sustainable earning power. That's operations. That's not financial engineering. So our calling card is operations. We stress operations. And in the case of Chrysler, we're going to be supportive. Tom Lasorda and his team are going to run the business. There's always a question, are you going to run the business? No, we're not auto people. But we create an environment in which really good auto people can run their company, better. We're positive. But it's no panacea. And we all know this industry suffering from serious problems, global competition, rising healthcare costs, and so on. And those issues have to be addressed. We're facing a new issue now that I want to just take a minute on. It's one that is being debated in Washington right now. And Keith alluded to it in his opening comments. And it's the question of what is the appropriate policy coming out of Washington dealing with auto fuel economy. We, Chrysler, and I can almost speak for Chrysler now, we at Cerberus, we're getting closer and closer to being able to say things for the automotive industry, have looked at this with fresh eyes. And we've said, look, the United States is too dependent on Middle Eastern oil. No doubt about it. and Ford and Toyota and General Motors are in the same boat. They agree. We are too dependent. We need to reduce our dependence. We're also need to reduce CO2. Both are important national goals worthy of being pursued, and they should be pursued. And we support legislation that would accomplish that those objectives. And I hope we're not being parochial here when we also say we think it's important to sustain a healthy domestic automotive industry. And the problem with the Senate bill that came out a week or so ago, the problem with the Senate bill is it really raises serious issues about the future of this industry by setting standards for fuel economy, which put a disproportionate share of the burden of meeting these broader national goals on this one industry. Chairman Dingell, John Dingell, a great legislator from this area, is leading an effort in the House, supported by a wonderful Michigan delegation, I might add, is leading an effort in the House to bring balance to this equation. Legislation that will be tough for the automotive industry to achieve. Higher auto fuel economy standards. A tough challenge. Something we're prepared to accept. But something that is conceivably achievable. Not a set of standards which are so one-sided that they can't be met and which have the risk of sinking the U.S. auto industry. You know, it's important the U.S. auto industry be able to produce cars people want, right? You don't stay in business long if you don't produce products people want. One of the great features of the American economy is the choice it gives consumers. And we basically have this view that I have long supported, that the products that get produced in whatever sizes, shapes, and colors is better left to the marketplace and the choices of consumers than the people in government who decide for us what products we want. One of the serious problems with the Senate bill is it's telling the auto industry what products to produce. Far better to have standards that allow the marketplace to determine that. Which is why ultimately I would prefer legislation that gave this authority to knowledgeable people at NHTSA, which is the way it was supposed to work, who can continually adjust the standards to the realities of the marketplace. Where are fuel prices? Well, the auto fuel economy that makes sense at one fuel price is unlikely to make sense at another. You need a continual calibration. Chairman Dingell is trying to teach an economics lesson to Congress and all of us with his proposal on carbon taxes. To make the point that this isn't free, that there are consequences, and that consumer choice has to be part of the equation that solves this problem. I hope that as we go forward here, that we'll be able to fashion a strong coalition supporting the objectives of reducing dependence on the Middle East, reducing CO2, and also sustaining a strong, competitive U.S. industry. If you're like me and want to see that happen, then you need to get behind Chairman Dingell. I know it's time for the questions now, so let me turn to that. Keith? Thank you.
Thank you. We have a lot of questions, so we'll try to go through as many as we can. When do you expect the acquisition to be complete?
I expect the acquisition to be complete in the third quarter.
Early or late?
Yeah, third quarter. We're hoping to get it done as soon as possible, but sometime third quarter. Not too long now, actually. We're in the third quarter.
Do the current Chrysler employees have anything to worry about?
think the current Chrysler employees have an opportunity here that I talked about earlier of in this new environment. I really do think this new environment is one that can open up the potential for Chrysler. Can let the Chrysler focus on the day-to-day business of running their business rather than continually looking over their shoulder at what some analyst is writing about. You know, in this new environment, quarterly reports don't matter. You don't go to the market with a quarterly report. You don't have the problem of missing the market's estimates of what your quarterly earnings are going to do. What you get to do in an environment like this is run the business. And knowing Tom Lasorda and the other people at Chrysler, that's what they want to do. They want to make good cars and run the business well. So I think that's a plus for the employees.
Was Jeep part of the deal?
Pardon?
Was Jeep part of the deal?
Well, Jeep's a great product. I've owned many of them over the years. And sure, it's an important part of the product line, and it's one of the distinctive features of that product line, and it's a vehicle known all over the world. Yeah, we're real high on the Jeep product.
How do you plan to overcome billions of dollars in healthcare liabilities?
Well,
and I suppose that we could ask about pensions.
The healthcare issue is a serious issue for the U.S. auto industry, but for manufacturing at large. And it stems in large part from the fact that our healthcare system doesn't work very well in the United States. The numbers here are fairly startling, really. We spend about twice as much on healthcare in the United States as the other OECD nations, as the other, say, G7, Canada, countries. That is, we're about 15-16% of our GDP, and they're about 6 or 7, 7 or 8. And you say, well, why is that important? Well, it's important because it uses so much of our GDP, but we don't get any better outcomes. When you look at the efficacy of the U.S. healthcare system versus the healthcare system of the other OECD countries, we're just on average with the rest of them, but we spend twice as much. Now that tells me something's broken. Something isn't working right. I'm pleased to see all of the leading presidential candidates saying they understand that. And they're all putting forward ideas. It's really time we address this problem. This problem is a deep-seated issue that's making America less competitive and is making manufacturing and auto companies, which are bearing costs that are of the uninsured, even tougher, the burden even tougher. Any solution to the healthcare problem has to has to confront the issue of more choice for consumers. I'm always struck by the fact that when we go into a supermarket, we're real good buyers. When we go to auto show lots, we're good buyers. We shop the internet for a car. We check the newspapers. We walk the lots. But when we buy healthcare, somebody else is paying for it. We're not very consumers. That drives up costs. We got to fix this crazy liability system in this country. You know, that's driving doctors out of practicing medicine. That's raising all of our insurance costs. We just got to fix that. There's no way to. When you want to fix a problem, you go to the root cause. And one of the root causes of our rising health care costs, and they're rising at an extraordinary rate, is a need for tort reform. So yes, obviously that issue has to be addressed, but it has to be addressed beyond labor management discussions. It's got to be addressed in Washington. As I say, I'm pleased that on both sides the presidential candidates are finally talking about this in a sensible way. I hope it isn't just campaign talk though. I hope it's talk that goes into 2009 and really results in action.
What's your plan synergy for GMAC and Chrysler Financial?
Well, they're separate companies, and there aren't any current plans. That's something that that can be addressed down the road. We're not even the owner of Chrysler yet.
You talked about how the U.S. automakers should be producing cars the customers want. Why have the big three steadily lost market share for the last 25 years?
Well, there are an awful lot of reasons for that, and I'm not the best person to address it. But I think we can lose sight of what's really important. Market share is one dimension of good performance, but the most important dimension is producing cars that are profitable, right? When I was in the railroad business, I always looked at my market share, but more importantly, I looked at my margins and profitability, and I did it in the trucking business and the shipping business and all the others. So I think while market share is a dimension of performance, it should not be the controlling dimension of performance, and when companies look at market share as the controlling dimension or metric, they can get in real trouble. I think the key metric here is, are we producing good cars at margins? There's not much point in producing lots of cars and getting lots of market share without any margin, right? That's a one-way ticket to oblivion. Make it up on volume, right. Make it up on volume, right.
Hits and misses. How about a few words on what happened at Delphi and what's going to happen at Tower?
You know, I don't know on Delphi. We're not in that picture. Tower, we're hopeful that there'll be a close soon. That will again strengthen our hand in this important automotive industry. One of the things about Cerberus you should know is that the founder of Cerberus, Steve Feinberg, I know you want to interview him.
Yes.
Yeah. comes from a working class family, has established terrific rapport with the Chrysler workers and management team and with Ron Gettelfinger and the UAW. And he believes in U.S. manufacturing, and he believes in the U.S. auto industry. Really believes deeply in it. Wants to see it succeed. And one reason that we made the bid on Chrysler, in addition to all the other things I talked about, and the ability to secure good returns over time, patient capital, is he likes the auto industry. He wants to do his part to strengthen the role of the U.S. auto industry.
Then what was his reaction to Chrysler getting involved with the Chinese company Chery?
Well, Chery is a Chinese company with which Chrysler has had a joint venture relationship. Recent announcement that the joint venture has been administrative details on the joint venture have been finalized and it's now going to be up and going. Chery produces a line of cars that Chrysler doesn't produce today. I'm getting more familiar with this terminology, but it's an A-frame car, an A-line car, which is the very small car that doesn't have a lot of margins in it. It's not the sort of car that gets produced in the United States. Nobody producing them in the United States. But China's a big market, and there are opportunities to get into that market, and you ought to take advantage of them. And this costs no current Chrysler worker a job at all, because we aren't producing those cars. And it creates the opportunity for Chrysler to get a new earnings stream. And with a new earnings stream to help cash flow and help investments in technology and all of that. So it seems to me it's a real plus for Chrysler, and I applaud them for having broken the ground with the Chinese. This is one of the leading, if not the leading, Chinese auto company.
Rumors are that Wolfgang Bernard has been shopping for a house. What do you expect his role to be?
Well, you know, he is a well-respected automotive executive who has good knowledge of the auto industry, its products, production processes, and so on, and has had a distinguished career with Chrysler. He's affiliated with Cerberus, and as an advisor to Cerberus, and he's one of that cadre of 150 senior executives I talked about. who were available to offer advice and counsel, to serve as a sounding board. We get this question a lot, Keith. Tom Lasorda and his team are running Chrysler. Cerberus is offering support, including the support of talented executives to serve as a sounding board, to serve as an extra pair of hands, to help.
Copyright 2007, America, JR.com, Detroit, Michigan, USA.